Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
I'm Anita Smith, and I help professionals who have gone through narcissistic abuse and have really had a difficulty being able to bring their level of success up to the level that they know that they can achieve, but something is just holding them back. And they feel like they're not writing their own story. They're not in charge of their own life. They are just being a survivor of narcissistic abuse. And there's so much more that they have inside of them that they haven't yet tapped into. And I know from my own experience how difficult it is to focus from going through narcissistic trauma, because it actually affects your nervous system. And sometimes we may feel like we're not going to make it, but the one thing I want to tell you is that is a lie. Yes, you can and you will. Mastering your emotions allows you to master your mindset. I want to talk about the battlefield that no one sees, the one inside your mind, not the world outside of you, but the world inside of you. Because if you can master that world, you can master anything. There's a powerful element that connects directly to our ability to focus. And this one thing determines whether you're going to rise or retreat. If we are focused on being heart-centered, it's actually the most meaningful. It's easier. It's the most intentional, because that's where our heart is. If we're focusing on being responsible, it takes more energy, more discipline, and more motivation, more self-motivation. If we are focusing on something we're creating, it's the unknown, it's uncomfortable. It takes much more energy. It takes resilience, discipline, and a lot more thought power, right? The brain is hardwired for either pleasure or pain. That's just the way we're designed. And when we are in pain, we experience what most would consider survival mode. It creates avoidance. It creates procrastination, hesitation, discomfort, and distractions, and a lot of time loss. But when we are focusing on pleasure, it seems to be a higher motivator. Our energy is up. We are in more of a comfort mode, but both can actually unravel your focus. And I'm going to show you how. Have you ever watched someone who might have been handed a microphone for the very first time to speak in front of a crowd? Well, their body language will tell you the story. Their focus is very intense. And you can see fear. You can see their nerves. You can see anxiety all over their body. Learning to regulate your emotions is essential. It's a skill set to be able to focus. When we talk about emotions, like they're these invisible things that are moving around in our head, but the truth is your body feels emotions before your mind understands them. And so you can see how your focus can be directly affected. Fear doesn't start as a thought. It starts in the tightening of your chest. It starts when your body becomes stiff or your stomach starts to flip. Frustration doesn't become anger. It becomes this heat in your body or the tenseness in your shoulders. When you understand the signals that your body is telling you, you stop reacting out of panic and you start responding out of self-control and wisdom. Because the simple truth is that your focus is determined by the stability of your emotions. And your emotions are determined by the mindset that you practice daily. I'm going to say that again. Your emotions are determined by the practice that you do daily. Let's be honest, most of us don't lose focus because we're distracted. We lose focus because we are comparing ourselves to others or the fear of missing out, or you take on too many things and you become in overwhelm, or what I would consider emotional overload. You might even be giving your focus to other people's dreams and abandoning your own. When your body feels something, your mind interprets it. It's suddenly you've been pulled into a whole internal argument inside of your head as if nothing you do is actually about your goal. Now it's about your emotions. And here's how it happens. A feeling hits your body first. You feel tense, anxiety, a little bit overwhelmed, and your mind assigns a meaning to that. What's wrong with me? What's going on? What if I fail? What if I can't do this? And your emotion amplifies this story in your head where fear grows, your doubt grows, and then pressure grows. And your focus suddenly collapses because you're no longer thinking about the task or the goal. You're thinking about the emotion that it created. And that leads to procrastination, where you put things off. You decide, oh, now's not a good time. And that's all emotion. How you get up in the morning, if you feel like getting up early, or if you feel like staying in bed, because your focus hasn't been dialed in. You can start 10 different ideas and finish none when you are in this state, or you can shift from chaos to clarity. If emotion leads, then focus bleeds. And that is so true, because if our focus is not dialed in, then our emotion is bleeding away all of our focus. It's knowing why your chest tightens, why your stomach is flipping, why your thoughts are spiraling, why you are in a catastrophic mindset and the things that you're telling yourself, why you shut down, you blow up or blow things off, why you feel small in rooms that you know that you belong in. It actually takes courage to face your emotions and to be disciplined enough to master them. There comes a moment when you just say, enough, enough playing games, enough wearing a mask, enough pretending, enough playing small, enough putting your dreams on hold. This is the moment when focusing becomes a non-negotiable. When you name an emotion like anxiety or impatience, that's a big one. When you can name it, you can tame it. But when you can't name it, it derails your focus, your productivity, your energy levels, your motivation. It affects your confidence. And eventually, you start playing a smaller game. You rewind into the same old patterns that you have been doing for years or possibly decades. Ask yourself, how much time have you spent overthinking, going from one room to the next, pacing, trying to figure something out, trying to make yourself understand what's going on without realizing that you're turmoiling over something rather than just being in massive action? You're stressing about things that are out of your control instead of focusing on what you need to accomplish. At that time, the energy spent on preconceived outcomes or things that haven't happened yet, you end up frustrated, stressed, and literally exhausted. Putting all your energy on the problem instead of putting your energy on the solution. And we've all been there. Emotional intelligence isn't about being strong enough. It's about being skilled enough to understand them. Recognizing what's happening is emotional intelligence. It's not ignoring or blowing things off or putting things off, but the awareness of what's happening inside your body before your mind actually can create the story. That's why I always say, if you're going to do something and be hyper focused, then do it quickly, do it fast, so you don't have time to talk yourself out of it. Emotional intelligence is literally heightened self-awareness, so you can get your power back. You can recognize the emotional early, and you can understand the trigger and separate your feelings from how it affects your identity. You can create a calmness and allow your nervous system to actually do its job so you can focus. And choosing action from clarity instead of hesitation or fear. A great technique I use is to pause for like 5 seconds, maybe even 10 or 15 seconds, to acknowledge what is my body telling me in this moment that I feel uncomfortable or that I'm aware that I'm responding physically, and allow space to understand what I'm feeling and why. It allows me to ground myself so I can recenter and refocus. I'll never forget the moment that my ex-husband came up to me one day and he said, "Anita, don't speak because people can't understand you. I will speak for you." At first, I was questioning, is he trying to protect me somehow? Or was he doing something else? And my body signaled that he was coming from a place of control. It was as if my voice had evaporated and my existence had disappeared in that very moment. It was just a classic narcissistic power play to keep me small so he could have control. And when someone chips away at your identity long enough, your emotions get trained to retreat. Your mind begins creating preconceived outcomes like, oh, if I speak, I'll embarrass myself. It won't be good enough. What am I doing? I'm not qualified. And then you get into imposter syndrome. But when you focus on what you can do and what you are capable of, this is where knowing yourself is vitally important because it allows you to focus with confidence. And there's a turning point where you get to reclaim your value. You get to reclaim your focus, your voice, and your emotional authority. It became the moment that I said, enough. It was a breaking point to decide who I get to become and how I get to direct my emotions and my mind. What I get to create and how I will regulate those emotions going forward. And our emotions are connected to our thoughts because when we start feeling something, all of a sudden our mind catches up. And then we start thinking these thoughts that we're not good enough, or of what if I fail? My ability to focus on my well-being became my foundational fuel for growth. Focus doesn't just appear magically, it was built through daily emotional exercises, just like it is a muscle, just like going into the gym and perfecting your ability to perform. Focus is so important because it helps you, and it's used. And when we use these exercises as, for example, concentration, discipline, courage to stand against the internal and the external noise, blocked off time so that you can do things without apology, without feeling guilty. Making it a conviction that this is your purpose, ownership of your vision is so vitally important. And when you determine to hold the line until the results show up, that is a game changer. The ability to change your mind when you experience growth is actually a part of mastery. Being able to change what you're doing and shift, because mastery isn't rigidity. Mastery is flexibility with direction. Emotions can do one of two things. It can direct or they can disrupt your focus. What happens when fear comes up when you're doing something new? When you experience confrontation or even celebration, how does that affect your focus? When something unexpected happens, like a surprise party or a flat tire on your car, have you ever noticed how one small thing or even doubt creeps in and you can create a full storyline that can shut you down? Your emotions begin writing scripts for outcomes that hijacked a fictional result. Unregulated emotions create emotional paralysis, like when emotions overwhelm your nervous system or your brain goes into freeze mode, you sit there staring at a project, knowing what to do and doing nothing. This isn't laziness, it's emotional overload. Procrastination isn't a time issue. It is an emotional issue. It's the fear of being judged, criticized, this fear of failing or even succeeding. And sometimes it's just exposure, being seen. Your brain delays the task to avoid the emotion that's attached to. So people pleasing is another one. When you avoid conflict or minimize your needs to keep others comfortable, you're trying to manage how others feel rather than managing how you feel with yourself. Mental spirals also are a part of this, because this is what we call catastrophizing thinking. One emotion, one fear of embarrassment, one frustration that can trigger 30 rapid-fire thoughts, and you begin imagining outcomes that aren't even real. And this spiral kills your clarity, which kills your focus. You may self-sabotage your intentions and allow your insecurities to escalate. Your brain fills with blanks, with fear instead of facts, thinking the worst-case scenario, stealing your ability to visualize what's possible and narrowing your focus down to what might go wrong versus what might go right. Another one is like having a false self-image. Sometimes we tell ourselves, oh, I'm fine. Oh, no, don't bother. Everything's good. Just avoiding the feelings which are actually your truth. But suppressing those emotions is the fastest way to sabotage your focus, because the emotion doesn't disappear. It leaks out in hesitation, confusion, inconsistency. And if you're relating to this, it is something that is actually stimulating change in you. So how do we self-discipline our focus? So we can do some emotional check-ins, do an audit, name what you feel. And then your brain calms when it's not fighting to suppress emotion. And that's a beautiful thing. 5-minute reset, be still, kind of like what I talked about before. But this is a little bit deeper. This is where you're just still. Step away. You isolate yourself on purpose, intentionally, to ground yourself and recenter, and allowing your nervous system to settle. When you block time, you can do that without guilt, eliminating non-essential commitments like guilt-free time to go for a walk. It's essential. And if it's not on your calendar, it's not something that's essential, it's not real. You can push it aside and do it later. Creating a friction-free environment is also very important. Scrolling and filling your mind with drama. Once you get on your phone and you're scrolling through, there is so much negativity in social media. And if you can turn off those notifications, shut your phone off, leave it in the other room, you make it harder for distraction to capture you. Another thing is commit to one thing or pick three things and then narrow it down to one. Go into massive action. Focus on that one thing. And when you complete, then you can move on to the next. And this is one of my favorites, is challenging your thoughts, not your emotion. A lot of times, our thoughts can affect our feelings, and feelings can affect the way we think, right? But you can feel fear, but you can choose a different action. You can feel doubt and still show up. You can feel overwhelmed and still take one step forward. This is how you master your emotions while redirecting your mind. And another one is giving yourself permission to change your mind. Sometimes we get stuck into believing that we can't shift, but when we give ourselves permission, it can free up our focus in such an incredibly beautiful way to help us be able to accomplish what we want to. And that's not failure, that's true leadership. When you master your emotions, you master your mindset. And when you master your mindset, your focus becomes laser sharp. You become someone who doesn't react, you respond. You don't spiral into thoughts, you center yourself. You don't procrastinate, you now execute. This doesn't mean that you shrink. It allows you to rise. You're no longer people pleasing, you're self leading. You don't get paralyzed, you move now with intention. This is what a focused life looks like: clarity, conviction, direction, momentum, and freedom. So let me ask you, has anyone ever spoke over you? A thought that made you question your worth? Did it cause you to retreat, to hesitate, to second guess your brilliance? Did you shrink or rise, retreat or regulate, react or focus? You have the power to redirect your emotions, which means you have the power to redirect your future. Mastering your emotions masters your mindset. And when you master your mindset, you master your focus. And when you master your focus, you master your life. If you would love to connect with me, please email me at ment4.more@outlook. I would love to have a conversation with you and set up a time that we can discuss further things about regulating your emotions so that you really can master your life. Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.